A winner makes commitments, a loser makes promises. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. A winner makes commitments, a loser makes promises. We at the University of Healing, in our largesse, give a great deal of money to many people over the years. And we have helped them with their problems, we've helped them with their life, we've helped them with their circumstances. And I would say 90% of the time, maybe 100%, we have hurt them rather than helped them. Because we have given them something which they needed and which they wanted, and they made promises to go out and fulfill whatever it was that they were going to use the money for, or that they were going to use whatever we helped them with for. And later we found out that they turned right around and they sold the items and bought drugs. They took the money and they bought drugs, and they thought they could spend it for something else. One very dear person in my heart wanted to become a sheriff. And so I helped him to become a sheriff. He needed $4,000 to buy the uniform, to go to school, and to do all these things. And so I helped him, and he took the money, and then he did not qualify to be a sheriff. And to be qualified, he'd have to do a little exercising, which he did not choose to do. Well, he did not say he did not pass it. He did not say he did not qualify. He did not say anything. He just took the money and used it. In fact, he bought himself a new Lincoln car and many other things like that. And I've helped other people to do different things, and with all sincerity, it was the dream of their heart, the desire of their heart, the important thing of their world, and they took the money and misused it. They used it for something different. But the misusing of it was not the hard thing for me. The hard thing for me was that they did not tell me, I've decided not to do that, but I'm keeping the money, you know. I mean, now that's an honorable thing. That's a certainly a dishonest thing, but it's an honorable thing. Now, another person made a promise that they would pay back the money on monthly installments. And I told him, I will not beg the money back from you. You have the money. You have the money so you can buy yourself a house trailer. He needed a house trailer to live in. So I gave him the money without any second thought. And I believed in him 100%. He went out and bought the house trailer, but then he could not move it onto the property he wanted to. So he had to give the trailer back and get his money back. Well, he owed the money. He said, would you mind if I spent the money on something that I needed? Now, that's very honorable, on keeping me alive, you know, but I will pay you back a certain monthly payment. Well, I said, go right ahead. So he spent it on what was necessary to keep him alive, and what that was, I have no idea, but he made the monthly payments for about two or three times, and then he stopped. And then we asked him about it, and we didn't hear from him. And so finally I just said, hey, I will not have your debt on my back, so therefore you don't owe it to us anymore. And you say, Herb, that was an easy out. That's right. But never again. That person has just written himself off of my heart. And it's off of my heart, not off of my largesse, not off of anything else, but off my heart, because I trusted him. I believed in him. I wanted to go along with the world, and I wanted to cooperate with people that I loved and I believed in, and they didn't fulfill their part. Now, when something like that happens a number of times with a number of different people, all of whom have different personalities, all of whom I know for years and years and years and love entirely, you know, it makes me feel, well, they really don't want what I have. They have conned me out of what I have, and they're using it for whatever their nefarious purposes are, and they had no intention of paying it back in the first place. and they had no intention of using it for what they said they were going to use it, but it sounded noble what they needed it for. And so therefore I worked with them. Now, people come into my life continuously on this. And I think to myself, now here we have a young man. He's come to campus here. He's a fine young man, person I love and trust and believe in 100%. I shouldn't say the word trust. I love and know that he is an honorable man, period. And then I think, well now, what if I were to help him buy the tools that he needs to have to start his business? Well, would he take the money and immediately buy the tools, or would he need to live on something until he got going with his business, until he got customers going and things like that? What would he have to do? Would I be doing him a disservice or a service? Well, what if I kept him here on campus and let him work here and put in the number of hours it would be to pay him $10 an hour, and then after the 240 hours or whatever, no, that'd be 10, yeah, 240 hours or 250 hours, whatever it would be, after that, then he would buy his tools and he would do his things and go his way. Now, would I really be helping him? Would I really be helping him, or would I be hurting him? Because, you see, I have to think of all these possibilities now, because I do not want to hurt anybody. I do not want to be a source of unhappiness to them, of debt to them. You see, a promise is a greater debt than any money could ever be. If people owe me money, I can write that off easily. If people make a promise to me that they will fulfill some goal that they have in their heart, some dream they have in their heart, and do fulfill it, wow. I just bless them every moment of my life. I bless them in my daily prayers. I bless them in my treatments, and I see them accomplishing the dreams of their heart. But when they don't do that, when they let me down, when they let me down, like this young man that we just had here, I believed in him. I trusted in him to come here and apply himself to the program. I said, do you know what we teach? Oh, yes. Did you read the syllabus? Oh, yes. Are you familiar with everything we're doing? Oh, yes. And he was here for 3 or 4 days, and he lied his way all over the place. He said he would do things. He said he was going to stay here for 2 years, which it was his business, not ours. He could leave in a moment, any moment he chose. But then he went to one of our service people who work on our swimming pools and stuff, and asked him to put him up for the night because he was running away and he didn't want to tell us he was running away. And we told him, hey, we'll drive you to the bus depot. We'll take you any place you want. We'll help you whatever you want to do if you want to go. And he didn't want to because he knew he was lying. He knew he was being a thief. He was stealing from us the fulfillment of his promise, which is more than any money he could ever have had. And the fulfillment of his promise was not that he was going to stay with us, but that he was going to be an honorable man. And he told some lies, which sort of supported him in having his mother help to pay him his way back home. And that's fine. That's fine. But you see, once a person has no integrity, they will never have it. They will never have it. Because integrity is something that comes out of your soul. Integrity is something that comes out of your heart. I could no more tell a lie about another person than the man in the moon, because it's not my life. I could no longer hurt another person or take from another person anything that didn't belong to me, because that's not the integrity of my soul. See, I'm born with that. But there are people who are not, and they feel that other people are not, and they will do all that they can to destroy the integrity of the other person. You see, we have people like Clinton in office doing some what we call immoral things in office. And whether he did them or not, he was charged with them. Now, his integrity should have said to him, if I am creating this sort of a picture, then I will resign. I will resign because I will not have the top office holder of this land violating the morals of the nation, because I am supposed to be the keeper of the morals of the nation. But you see, the greatest sin, the greatest unhappiness took place following that, where the people of the United States got behind him and said, "We're with you, Bill. We're with you. Even if you did these things, we are with you." And that is a travesty to the tradition and the culture of the entire United States. When the United States has taken God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and things like that, then, and out of schools and out of everything, they have taken away their integrity. They have taken away the very thing that has made this nation great. Now, when we work with people and we say things to people and they say things to us and they violate their integrity, we say to them, not them, but we say to ourselves, we will always continue to believe because we have integrity. We will always stand behind people because we have integrity. And that is the important thing. We have integrity. Now, for every person who comes into our world, we will believe them. We will do everything we can to help them to accomplish their dreams and their goals. And that's part of our teaching, that's part of our world. But the moment they violate the integrity, we have to release them, because they're playing in a different ballpark than we are. They're playing with a different set of rules than we are. And so we have to be very careful. What is it that we want to do? We want to be ourselves and have fun and live by our principles. And if we're living by somebody else's principles, which are different than ours, which is a different set of integrity than we have, then we cannot do that, because we have died the moment we have violated our principles. The moment we have said yes to an immoral act, the moment we have said yes to a dishonest act, the moment we have said yes to something which is contrary to our teachings and belief, we are best out of business. And so this is where we stand now and where I stand. And this is one of the important things that is important for all of us to think about. Now, I bring Rex up here, and Rex plays with Little Love, and Little Love gets upset with Rex because he's a little rough and so forth. And so right away it's, "Rex, don't do this. Rex, don't do that. Rex, you, stop it. Rex." And Rex is not doing anything. Little Love is the one who's doing it. Little Love should get up in his chair and be out of the way. Or we should take Rex and keep him down at the Hermitage and not bring him up here. Because you see, we cannot have them be in that activity with each other if we do not believe that activity is good, if we do not believe that they are perfectly able to handle themselves. And Little Love is perfectly able to go under the chair and be away from Rex if he wants to, or not. Now, you see, this is a principle. It's a principle of training and being equal. So we want to always be very careful about the things that we do. Now, I had a dream this morning. I woke up early and had a very bad stomach and a very unhappy heart. And so then I relaxed and said peace and went back to sleep. And then I dreamed that I was a young man. You know, you always dream you're the person in the dream. And so I dreamed I was this young man, and he was back in early times, in the times of kings and countries and stuff. And he was traveling around, sort of like a troubadour. And he was singing songs. He did not have a good voice, but he was happy. And he was singing songs to the people, and the people liked it because it was entertainment when they didn't have television. And so as he'd go along, he'd write down songs, and, you know, he had a whole little packet of songs that he had with him. And everywhere he went, he was well received and happily received. Well, then one day he was supposed to go before the big person of the land, the king of something or other. And so he went over there with a happy heart and his little sheaf of songs that he loved to sing. And then there was a person who was in trouble, and they needed help. And he put his song sheet down, the sheets that he had, and he went to help this person, and he helped the person. Well, it took a little while. And by the time he came back, the song sheets were no longer there. They had blown away or something, you know, they disappeared. And he thought to himself, oh my, what am I going to do now? I have to appear before this important person and sing in his court and do these things, and all of my music is gone. And then a little voice inside him said, hey, where did the music come from in the first place? And he responded to himself. He said, well, from within. Well, then go and sing with all your love and all your joy and all that's in you, and your songs will be very well received. Not because you're a good singer. You know you're not a good singer, but you like to sing. And you know your songs are nothing that Oscar Hammerstein would write, you know. But that's not the point. Your songs are your songs, and you're giving of your heart. So I, as this young man, went before this person, this and his court and so forth, and they were all, welcome, welcome, nice to see you, you know, making me feel very, very, very good. And then I got up before the king or something, and I sang. And I did not remember one single word that I had written on my song sheets. I sang from my heart to this important person and to his court, his country, to his world. And I looked around at the audience and I saw all sorts of beaming, happy, smiling faces, receptive to what I was saying. And so I included them in the song. And I included everything in the song. I did not have a guitar or a mandolin or anything else to play. I did not have a piano, certainly, or anything like that. All I had was my voice. And I sang. And when I got done, it was a very happy time. It was a very happy time because I was myself and having fun. And I think that that was a message to me that I will run around the world as necessary. But I will not feel any pressure by it, because when people ask me to go to these countries and that country, you see, I almost made a mistake. I almost made a mistake with my neighbor. My neighbor, Fernando, asked me to bring a device to Africa which would purify the water and do those things. That's not my thing. That's not my world. That's not my life. And he brought to my attention that it was not my world and my life, because he violated the integrity of a friend with me. And he is no longer, from the very beginning of our relationship, I have not been totally happy with him, because he did not do things as I asked him to do it. And my own staff agreed with him in doing it as he did it rather than as I asked him. And my father, having been a building contractor, and I worked with him in building houses and stuff, told him he was not putting the blocks up correctly, and he would not pay attention, and he would not correct it to my request. So I should have known that this was not the person of integrity and trust and honor in my world. And you see, sometimes we have to have a baseball bat hit us right over the head and say, hey, pay attention. This is not your thing. This is not your game. My game is to be myself and have fun. My game is to travel the world and be myself and have fun. Or stay at home and be myself and have fun. And if I try to play any other game, I will be a loser. A winner makes commitments. A loser makes promises. And you see, my commitment is to be myself and have fun. My commitment is to be myself and have fun. And if I ever make any other commitment, then the whole purpose of my life, the whole purpose of my existence, has ceased to have any relevancy. Now, we have this young man who's visiting us right now, who's got his dreams, and we would certainly encourage him to accomplish his dreams in any way possible. But if he cannot be master of his habit and cannot control himself under the simple things that he's showing himself in right now, then we have no reason to believe that he will be master of his promises or his commitments. And when he does that, our hearts will open up in great abundance. But we love everybody, but they have to play their part of our game, you know, let us know that. And so that's where I stand, and that's where I am. And even my ex-wife, she is a wonderful lady. We love each other very much, but she does not have the ability to say to me, I love you, even when I give her gifts and I share things with her. And it's not to me she's saying that she loves me. It's to herself that she's saying she loves everything in her world. And she said, well, how come you say I love to everybody? Because I love everybody. I love everything. And I love her very dearly. But when she cannot say that, I'm not having fun and being myself. And my son says, forgive her. You know, that's the way she is. Well, that's not in my world anymore. You see, in my world is only people who make commitments and who are having fun and being themselves. And if any time you're not having fun and being yourself, when you violate the rules, you're in trouble. And I don't want to be in trouble with myself or my world or my creation or anything. So that's where I stand. And did you notice how Rex quieted down? Did you notice as soon as you got him out of your mind and out of your anxious heart, he quieted down? Be yourself and have fun. And that's what life's all about. My thought for today: a winner makes commitments, a loser makes promises. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.